ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 31. यच्छक्तयो वदतां वादिनां वै विवाद संवाद भुवो भवन्ति कुर्वन्ति चैषा मुहुरात्ममोहम् तस्मै नमो अनंत गुणाय भूम्ने. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing amongst themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. Since time immemorial, or since the creation of the cosmic manifestation, conditioned souls have formed various parties of philosophical speculation. But this is not true of the devotees. Non-devotees have different ideas of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and therefore they are called vadis and prativadis, proponents and counter-proponents. It is understood from the statement of Mahabharata that there are many, many munis or speculators. Tarko apratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nasav rishiryasya matam na bhinnam. All speculators must disagree with other speculators. Otherwise, why should there be so many opposing parties concerned with ascertaining the supreme cause? Philosophy means finding the ultimate cause. As Vedanta Sutra very reasonably says, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Human life is meant for understanding the ultimate cause. Devotees accept that the ultimate cause is Krishna because this conclusion is supported by all Vedic literatures and also by Krishna himself, who says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavah. I am the source of everything. Devotees have no problem understanding the ultimate cause of everything. But non-devotees must face many opposing elements because everyone who wants to be a prominent philosopher invents his own way. In India, there are many parties of philosophers such as the Advaitavadis, Dvaitavadis, Vaisheshikas, Mimamsakas, Mayavadis and Swabhavadis. And each of them opposes the others. Similarly, in the Western countries, there are also many philosophers with different views of creation, life, maintenance, and annihilation. Thus, it is undoubtedly a fact that there are countless philosophers throughout the world, each of them contradicting the others. So, this is one part of the purport. So, in the Govardhan Leela, we find that Krishna, he is presenting various kinds of arguments to Nanda Maharaj about why they should not be performing the yajna to Indra. So, Srila Srila Swami comments that the context in which this 24th, 23rd and 24th chapters of the 10th canto they come is that the brahmanas' wives are delivered. So the brahmanas are considered to be gods on earth, Bhumi Deva. And they forget the ultimate cause of all causes. that is Krishna. And they commit a big blunder of not recognizing the cause of all causes who comes to him in the form of the cowherd boys and request, give your offerings to Krishna. And because they are Brahmanas, they are completely absorbed in all the rules and regulations of the rituals and thus forget the essence. And the essence is that to satisfy Krishna is the goal of all activities. Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. And philosophy basically means love of truth. And the culmination of all philosophy, as Krishna says in the Gita, yat sankhe prapyate sthanam tad yogair api gamyate ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yah pashyati sapashyati. Sankhya involves in finding out the root and yoga involves in watering that root. So here the cowherd boys, they approach the Brahmanas and they refuse to give. So Krishna wanted to teach them a lesson and humble them and reveal to them that what the reality is. And after teaching a good lesson to the gods on earth, Krishna was now ready to teach a lesson to gods in heaven. And therefore this entire yajna was performed, or the preparations of all this yajna was being made by Nanda Maharaj in the Brahmanas' village, in the village of the wives of the Brahmanas where Krishna and Balaram had stayed, to offer his association and please all the Brahmanas' wives. And that is where this entire conversation of Nanda Maharaj and Krishna began. So the Govardhan Lila actually begins in the village of the wives of the Brahmins. So now Indra, he is supposed to be the controller of rain. And because of the influence of false ego, he also starts thinking that I am in control. And temporarily, he is overwhelmed by illusion. And he forgets who is the ultimate cause of all causes. And in this way, we find that here is examples of two personalities who are in knowledge, who have been given specific responsibility of serving the Supreme Lord in various capacities, one as Brahman and the other as the controller, Devendra. So therefore, there is always a danger of being overwhelmed by illusion and forgetting the real purpose of what we are doing. And therefore, when we speak of all of these philosophies, we should also include ourselves in this, because at various points of time in the course of performance of service, if we start claiming credit for ourselves and forget that ultimate goal of this service is pleasure of Krishna, then we also are tinged by all of these contaminations. Therefore, when a Brahman becomes absorbed in simply performing the yajnas and the pujas according to rules and regulations and forgets the essence, then there is a danger of being caught in ritualism. And similarly, a kshatriya, if he forgets that he is simply a servant of the Supreme Lord and is performing his activities of controlling on behalf of the Supreme Lord to manage his resources, then there is a danger of being falsely proud and committing offense. So in this way, in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how different philosophers, they forget that the cause of all causes is Krishna. And then finally Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill and reveals and demonstrates to Indra that who is the real cause of all causes. And therefore, before Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill, he presents a list of 5 or 6 arguments to Nanda Maharaj. And each one of those 5 or 6 arguments are all atheistic, explaining how karma is supreme, how one's nature is supreme, how the modes are supreme, In this way, Krishna presents various alternative theories. Practically, all range of alternative atheistic philosophies are presented by Krishna to Nanda Maharaj. And then when Nanda Maharaj hears that, then he is convinced and he feels, let us offer this yajna to Govardhan. Now, in the PowerPoint it is described that what convinced Nanda Maharaj was not the nature of the philosophy or argument, but Nanda Maharaj saw that this is Krishna's desire. And ultimately, I must try to fulfill Krishna's desire. And because the Brajavasis' only goal in life was somehow or the other please Krishna, and they felt if Krishna is so much obsessed that we must please Govardhan, we must offer this to Govardhan and not Indra, then this is what we will do. And simply by following this one principle of doing things simply according to Krishna's desire, they realize the conclusion of all philosophies. And that is the ultimate conclusion of any theory or any philosophy, samsiddhir hari toshanam. So therefore they just felt Krishna desires this, we will do this. And so they proceeded with performing that yajna for Govardhan instead of for Indra. On the other hand, we can also see that Krishna was presenting all of these atheistic philosophies. Now, if we see in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu is trying to pacify his relatives, his mother, his sister-in-law, after the death of Hiranyaksha. Bhutanam iva samvasa prapayam iva suvrate daiven ekatranitanam unnitanam sokarum bhi. He's explaining the law of karma, how different living entities are under control by the law of karma and they are brought together and separated by the influence of karma. He's explaining the power of the Supreme Ishwar, patichutam tishtati dishtarakshitam, that we have no control. Ultimately, there is a supreme controller by whose will sometimes a lost object is found and sometimes a protected object is lost. So we are not in control. There is a supreme controller. So Hiranyakashipu is presenting atheism. And Krishna in Vrindavan is presenting atheism. Hiranyakashipu is presenting theism and Krishna is presenting atheism. Now if we just consider the words spoken per se, then we may consider that Hiranyakashipu is a great soul, because he is presenting so many arguments which are perfectly in line with the conclusion of philosophy. But the main point is his intent or motive is not in line with the words he is speaking. And therefore he is speaking a few words like this, explaining how there is a supreme power, but ultimately he doesn't believe in those words. And his real motive is self-satisfaction, and that is how he is behaving. And therefore his words carry no value. And therefore, it is described that Krishna, he was presenting atheistic philosophy, but the purpose of that atheistic philosophy was somehow or the other to stop the deviation being committed by Nanda Maharaj and others, in one sense, and then to make them perform the yajna for the service of Govardhan, for his own pleasure. So therefore, we can say that nothing is intrinsically good or bad. Atheism can also be used in Lord's service. And this we can see in this principle here, that Krishna is somehow or the other resorting to all of these different types of philosophies. But the ultimate purpose of those arguments is to bring Nanda Maharaj and Vrajavasis to perform that yajna for his pleasure, for Krishna's sake, for the sake of Govardhan. So ultimately, the main principle is that the sum and substance of all philosophies is the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, all of the Shastras ultimately inspire the conditioned souls to come one step forward in their attempt to do so. Therefore, whatever may be one's level, if somehow or the other one gets connected to the principle of satisfying Krishna, then gradually he comes one step closer to that ultimate goal. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits South India. And Kaviraj Goswami says, Nana Mata Grahagrastan Dakshinatya Janadvipan Kriparina Vimuchaitan Gauras Chakre Savaishnavan. Lord Chaitanya visited South India, and the people of South India, they were all powerful philosophers, and they were resorting to all kinds of philosophies. They were also very pious in their background. So they are described as huge elephants. With respect to dharma, they were like powerful elephants. Jana Dvipan. But because, in spite of all their piety, they were caught by the crocodile of various nonsensical philosophies, which had nothing to do with pure devotional service. Therefore, they were just like a powerful elephant caught by a crocodile. So a powerful elephant caught by a crocodile is helpless, cannot move. Similarly, all kinds of piety one may acquire, all kinds of different positive principles in spirituality one may acquire, but if one does not have knowledge of pure devotional service and is caught by various speculations, various kinds of philosophies, various types of understanding of what the ultimate truth is, if one is not willing to give up one's own opinion and one doesn't have sufficient faith to accept the opinion of another living devotee, then he is just like a powerful elephant caught by the crocodile of his own mental speculation. And there is only one way one can come out of this. Kriparina Vimuchaitan Gauras Chakre Savaishnavan. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited South India, he released the disc of his mercy. And with the powerful disc of his mercy, he cut through the speculative tendencies of all of these people in South India and inundated them with love of God. Nija nija shastrod grahe sabai prachanda sarvamati dushi prabhu kare khanda khanda. Each one of these philosophers in South India were very, very powerful. Tarkika mimamsakayata mayavadigan sankhya patanjala smriti purana agam. All types of philosophers which you could possibly find, they were there in great numbers in South India. But nija nija shastra udgrahe sabai prachanda. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented the conclusions of scriptures with logic, with reason, with argument for those who were skeptics and those who were innocent. Simply by the power of his darshan and by chanting of the holy name, he delivered them. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to South India is a clear-cut proof and demonstration of how the power of Harinam and the power of the holy name and the Sankirtan movement can completely dissolve all of these misconceptions which one may have. Because the ultimate solution to all doubts is the experience which one receives in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it is described in this beautiful pastime, Yadyapi asambhashya baudha ayukta dekhite, tathapi balila prabhu garva khandaite. From Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point of view, these baudhas, or those who were skeptics, those who simply believed in arguments based on logic, they were asambhashya, not worth speaking to. You could not even speak with them. Asambhashya, from his point of view. Just like if somebody is a PhD, then you need at least some educational qualification to even begin a discussion. Otherwise, if somebody is just a fifth standard dropout, you can't even start a discussion with a PhD. So asambhashya baudha means, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point of view, the kind of arguments they were going to put forward were silly. But tathapi bolila Prabhu, still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged them in debate. For what purpose? Garva khandaite. To actually purify them of their pride. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to crush their pride, work through the false ego, and then finally give them the power of Harinam. And therefore, tarka pradhana baudha navashastra mate tarkai khandila prabhu na pare sthapite. Tarka pradhan baudha, and these baudhas' main principle was tarka or logic or reason. So basically, they had extreme false pride in their own intelligence and they were obsessed with their own opinions. And each one had the freedom to speculate and spin the various shastras they were reading according to their own speculations. And thus they felt that they are better than everyone else. So the main principle with speculation is there is no agreement between two parties because the basis is false pride. And therefore, jnane prayasam udapasya. In Brahma's prayers, Brahmaji also explains the same point that I also became befuddled because of my tendency to speculate and judge based on my own intelligence, based on my own understanding. And because Navadvipa was filled with such personalities who were full of this judgment attitude, at least the people in South India did not have any preconceived notions about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in Navadvip, they were having an offensive attitude. And therefore, Navadvipa yai shakti na koila prakashe, se shakti prakashe nistarila dakshina deshe. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in Navadvip as the Yuga Avatar to give Harinam, did not feel fit to inaugurate Harinam Sankirtan in Navadvip. Because the people were extremely offensive. And therefore, the Supreme Lord, the most compassionate of all incarnations, who had come with the greatest gift ever to be distributed to mankind, decided to quit the very place of his appearance and go somewhere else in South India, where although the people were still logicians and philosophers, at least they were not having this offensive mentality. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the purport, Se shakti prakasi nistarila dakshina deshe. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to South India and there he spread this message far and wide and converted even so many philosophers and those who were atheists into devotees. So here these Bauddhas, they start arguing with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tarkai khandila Prabhu, and they put forward arguments or tarka, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also smashes them with tarka. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that many times when we are preaching, we may meet people who do not believe in Shastra. Therefore, we should be ready with arguments based on logic. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated this, that as an act of compassion, the devotee must also be trained in logic and reason, so that with that logic and reason, he can actually cure the infection of speculation of conditioned souls who do not accept Krishna's mercy because all of their logical arguments block the inflow of this mercy. Like Srila Prabhupada was in MIT and somebody was arguing with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, your college is called MIT. Where is Almighty? Where is the knowledge of Almighty here? And you have such a big college with so many departments, but you have not bothered to find out where is the beginning of everything. So Srila Prabhupada, he trained many of his disciples and through his books in not only spreading the holy name, but also defeating the arguments and logic of atheistic philosophies. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also doing the same thing. And now, these Bauddhas, they were defeated. And when they were defeated, they did not feel very happy about it. They felt offended. And so, apavitra anne ka thali te bhoriya. They brought some meat and other things in one thali and offered it to Lord Chaitanya. But at that time, one giant bird came from the top, picked up this thali, and then it threw this huge plate from the top, and the plate came and fell on top of the guru's head. And this guru of the Bauddhas, he just got hit on the head and he fell on the ground unconscious. Hahakara kori kande savashishyagan sabyase prabhupade loilo sharan. So many times we may use our logic and reason to good effect till everything is going on fine. But when we get hit and when things go beyond control, then we have to put a full stop to all the logic, reason and argument. And then we are rendered helpless, and then that forces us to take shelter. So now all of the logical argument went to the winds. Hahakara kori kande. They were all shouting helplessly. Sabe aase prabhupade loilo sharan. And they were willing to come and take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just one shot on the head and just see how things change. Therefore, many times Krishna has to use the instrument of material energy to sometimes destroy and cut through the false ego, which may convince us that I'm in control. And therefore, they start explaining, Tumi to Ishvara Sakshat Kshama Parat Jyao Amara Guru Karaha Prasad. So all of these Bauddhas were all atheists so far. And suddenly this entire calamity made them so helpless and they got so scared that immediately they are beginning to accept Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tumi to Ishvara Sakshat. And immediately the feeling of remorse is coming. Kshama Parad. Please, you forgive our offenses. Why? Jiyao Amar Guru. Please, at least bring our Guru back to consciousness. So one good thing was that although they were atheists, but they had affection for the person who was teaching them. And therefore they were pleading with the Lord to somehow bring him back to life. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just instructed them that Tuma samara guru tabe paibe chaitan sab baudh milikore Krishna sankirtan. You just chant Krishna's name. So the one good thing they did was they were remorseful, they became humble, they accepted there is someone more powerful and took the Lord's shelter. And so the Lord was in a position to give them instruction that you do Krishna Sankirtan. And because they did Krishna Sankirtan, Guru Karne Kohe Sabe Krishna Ram Hari Chetana Paya Acharya Bole Hari Hari. So that Guru also got up and then he also started chanting Hari Hari. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that before being delivered, the relationship was the Guru was the instructor and the disciples were following his atheistic instructions. But now the disciple got delivered and received Lord Chaitanya mercies first. Therefore now the disciples became Guru. And therefore when they spoke the Harinam into the Guru's ear, now the Guru was the recipient of the disciples' mercy. So therefore whatever may be one's intelligent arguments in avoiding one's surrender to Krishna, anyone who accepts Krishna as supreme first, or anyone who shows symptoms of dedicated, sincere surrender to Krishna and his representative before others, is in one sense to be accepted as superior. And he is to be worshipped. And instructions must be received from him. Otherwise, there is no place for chronology in principle of surrender. Therefore, according to chronology, the disciples were receiving instructions for a long time. But they surrendered first. And they took to the sincere chanting of the holy name first. And they received the Lord's mercy first. So they were empowered to also awaken others, especially their guru, was at that time in a state of unconscious oblivion. He did not know what is happening. Therefore, any of us who get that connection with Lord Chaitanya's mission, we have been given that task of spreading this message, of sharing what we know with others. And when we do that, that principle of accepting the Lord's order and sharing with others. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amaragya Guru Haiya Tara Eidesh. So that is a very important principle. And then we find that we become empowered as soon as we give up that obstacle of not allowing the Lord's instruction to enter into our heart, not allowing the devotee's instructions, resisting the Lord's desire to control. So Nanda Maharaj's glory was, he allowed Krishna to control him completely. And Brajavasis allowed Krishna to control their lives completely. And therefore the conditioned soul's greatest problem is, he resists Krishna and Krishna's desires. And resistance to that control creates all anxiety and trouble. And we take shelter of philosophy and logic, not to enhance our surrender to Krishna, but to resist and delay that surrender to Krishna. And therefore that same intelligence, which can become the cause of increased appreciation of Krishna, becomes the cause of going away from Krishna. And therefore, in a beautiful verse, in 10th canto it is described, control is seen as control and perceived as control when there is resistance to that control. You can only see control as control when you try to resist that control. So Krishna is practically controlling everything in Vrindavan. But the Brajavasis, from the core of their hearts, allow Krishna to control them. And therefore they do not see Krishna's desires as control. They feel it is pleasure. So all of Nanda Maharaj's long list of plans were foiled by Krishna's short speech. But if Nanda Maharaj had felt that I am going to lead my life the way I feel is correct, and I will follow things which I have been doing for so many years, and I will not change my style, and I will not change the way I am leading my life so far. Every year we have been offering yajna to Indra. That is my nature. That is how I have been leading my life. To hell with every other opinion. If that is how he had thought, then he must have felt Krishna's desire as a major cacophony. And he must have felt, my God, why this guy suddenly came up here? We were doing our yajna so nicely. And therefore, intervention from Krishna and Krishna's representative, when it is seen as a disturbance, that shows that there is something wrong and that is a disease. But on the other hand, Nanda Maharaj's attitude was, Krishna is saying it even though it means that we have to change practically so many things we have always done so far. It means that we have to interrupt. It means that we have to take a different direction from what we have always been taking. But because it is Krishna's desire, we will do it. And that is Vrindavan. That every resident allows Krishna to control them completely. And therefore, in Krishna consciousness also, the only way things can flow is when we willingly allow devotees to control our lives. Because Krishna is not present in front of us in a form or a shape which we can access. And therefore, if in the association of devotees, we develop the kind of skepticism and logic and reason to resist the desires of Krishna, just like all of these philosophers, then life becomes hell. And therefore, the association of devotees will not be like Vrindavan. and it will become a hellish planet where each one feels helpless. Because in association of devotees, each person is willingly making sacrifice to come and serve Krishna. Therefore, the very basis of success in the association of devotees is when each devotee takes the individual responsibility of molding his consciousness and making himself malleable and flexible to allow Krishna's representatives to work through him. And whatever we may have been doing for so long, that is all right. But if this is what it needs to enhance the quality of service and to please Krishna, even if it has been the tradition for so long, but if this is what it needs now, and we feel willingly the desire to change, and do not feel that request for change to be a botheration, and do not feel anyone who intervenes in our life as someone trying to control, but rather as a great opportunity for us to demonstrate to Krishna that yes, I am willing to transform my consciousness to please you. Then we will actually taste the essence of what life is in Vrindavan. Otherwise, the society of devotees will simply be a group of people physically staying together, but just like ships moving in the ocean, having no relationship with each other. And the main relationship that devotees have with each other is each one inspires the other to enhance his surrender to Krishna, enhance his transformation, and increase one's willingness to work through one's own conditionings, however difficult that may be. And therefore, this particular group of philosophers and so many different things which are mentioned here, they are not some far-out group of people who were existing at, you know, many, many years ago. But they are simply a group of thoughts, thought processes, which prevent us from changing ourselves, prevent us from enhancing our surrender to Krishna, and make us feel more independent. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank God, Premanande.